This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
I'm Abby Hornacek.
I'm Ben Domenech.
I'm Dana Perino, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Monday, May 6th, 2024. I'm Eben Brown. News breaks that Hamas is willing to cease fire, and yet it looks as if they're not agreeing to what negotiators presented, and certainly not something Israel will accept. Who keeps trusting them?
There's no editorial policies that have been put in place at any level in any mainstream media. Hamas claims something and let's just go with it. And now Israel has to explain to everybody, well, wait a second, this isn't the ceasefire deal that we had on the table.
This is the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Newsrooms around the world Monday afternoon came to a screeching halt when the Reuters news service wire blinked with an alert saying Hamas agrees to a ceasefire. The timing was, at the very least, interesting. Israel has already been evacuating civilians from the southern Gaza city of Rafah in advance of its planned siege of what is termed as Hamas's last stronghold. Without this battle, Israel's government says, Hamas will survive and the threat of war will remain. But its willingness to strike a truce, mediated by third parties from the U.S. to Qatar, had been centered on a return of hostages, even if it meant freeing imprisoned Palestinian terrorists. And as details emerged about Hamas's so-called agreement, the more it was revealed it wasn't an agreement to anything at all.
Hamas has played most of the mainstream media like a fiddle from day one.
Richard Goldberg once ran the White House National Security Council's Iran Weapons of Mass Destruction program. He's now a senior advisor with the Foundation for Defense of Democracies.
Much of the conversation that we have, the narratives that have been built, are Hamas narratives that are amplified through mainstream media. It's difficult, giving everybody the benefit of the doubt. It's difficult to cover something when you are thinking, okay, this is a balanced news story that I'm covering two sides, that there's two narratives, what Israel says and what Hamas says. And a lot of people allow themselves to forget that Hamas is a terrorist organization. It's like, being in some sort of a conflict with Osama bin Laden or with the ISIS caliphate, and ISIS puts out a press release or bin Laden puts out a press release, say, oh, well, that must be the other version. Well, let's lead with that. Bin Laden says this, and then, America has to respond. It's ludicrous, but that's how Hamas has been conducting the information warfare side of its operations, obviously for many, many years, but with heightened awareness now and coverage since October 7th. We remember very well the hours after Islamic Jihad rockets had hit the parking lot of a hospital in Gaza early on in the conflict. And Hamas said, Israel has just sent a missile into a hospital and killed hundreds of people. And that was the news story around the world for days. And it wasn't true. And it took just incredible amounts of effort to try to clear this up. But people raced to cover that story. In some ways, it was the story some people wanted to tell. And there was no stepping back to say to the IDF, what happened? What do you know? The terrorist organization has claimed this. What are the facts before we publish anything? Everybody wants to be first in the age of social media and just says whatever Hamas claims. Well, now Hamas comes out and says, you've accepted the ceasefire, right? As Israel is finally beginning the first stages of what will be a lengthy operation in the southernmost city of Rafah. And it's like nobody's learned any lesson. There's no editorial policies that have been put in place at any level in any mainstream media. Hamas claims something, and let's just go with it. And now Israel has to explain to everybody, well, wait a second. This isn't the ceasefire deal that we had on the table. This is not what Secretary Blinken had just a few days called an overly generous offer that we had given to Hamas. This is a Hamas plan. This is a Hamas ceasefire that apparently Egypt and Qatar support, which should call into question Egypt and Qatar in this conversation as well. But I think really step back and understand the full context, full picture of where we're at right now. We have been in a failed paradigm now for weeks, if not months, where the United States puts pressure from the White House on Israel to say, you can't continue military operations in Gaza. You can't go into Hamas's last stronghold. You can't cordon off the tunnels between Rafah and Khan Yunis to actually corner Hamas's top leadership and try to get the hostages out. You can't put military pressure on Hamas to force a ceasefire and maybe a hostage deal. And Hamas turns around and says, great, we're sitting pretty. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to accept any deal. We don't have to give up any of our leverage, which are obviously their hostages. America's doing our bidding for us through the White House. And so right now is the moment to finally end that failed paradigm. The Israelis have finally said enough is enough. We can't just keep, you know, being held back. We've tried everything. We've offered everything. We're losing soldiers now because of some of the concessions we've made. Just yesterday, Hamas responds to the last counterproposal by firing rockets right at the Israeli border crossing Joe Biden asked them to open up.
And how quickly that vanished from the headlines, because as of yesterday, it was, oh, the Israelis are going into Rafah. But yesterday morning, at least from U.S. perspective anyway, not only had Hamas been firing on Israeli soldiers, they were firing on humanitarian convoys as well. The same convoys that everyone has been begging Israel to allow in, and which they have been allowing in and have been doing it continually. And even so far today, I think the Israelis have said, look, we're trying to get the Kerem Shalom crossing reopened so we can get more aid in. The goal is not to hold off the aid here. Four Israeli soldiers
died.
Yeah.
Four Israeli soldiers were killed trying to find another path in for humanitarian aid that Hamas is going to try to sabotage, take control of. Secretary Blinken in the region while he was in Israel saw it happen through a northern crossing that was opened up. So, you know, at some point, somebody has to step back and recognize you got to take no for an answer from the terrorist organization, the proxy of Iran here, and empower the democracy to go after this terrorist organization, to really put the pressure on it, to try to get as many of its hostages back. President Biden had a phone call with Prime Minister Netanyahu today. The readout is that the focus of the call was putting pressure on Israel to reopen the Kerem Shalom crossing immediately. I hope there was at least a condolence part of like, sorry, you lost four guys. That wasn't in the readout, apparently.
We are speaking with Richard Goldberg, a senior advisor at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies and a former White House National Security Council member, on whether or not to trust Hamas's claims of agreeing to a ceasefire in its war with Israel, as the latter's military is poised to strike Hamas's last holdout, the Gazan city of Rafah. On the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition, we'll have more straight ahead. We keep talking about Egypt and more specifically Qatar as being this go-between. Occasionally, it appears sometimes France is involved, or maybe depends on what day of the week it is. I can't quite tell. But where's Saudi Arabia? Where's the UAE? Where's Oman? Or Bahrain, for that matter, they don't seem to be very participating in any of this. And you would think that for the consortium of Arab states that would want to be the leaders in their region, they're noticeably or conspicuously quiet. Can they be of any help here? Can they help get this along? I think Israel would like to stop the war, but they also want to stop it in a way where they can be assured of their own security. That is the elimination of Hamas. Or at least the containment of them, I guess.
Yeah, it's a complicated picture there because we just named a bunch of countries and they all have different interests and different takes. The Emiratis already are part of the Abraham Accords, so they already have a peace agreement with Israel. They have been heavily funding a lot of the humanitarian aid inside of Gaza. They've set up emergency field hospitals in Gaza. They've been funding certain projects on the Egyptian side of the border in case there's overflow in the future if the Egyptians would ever agree to allow more people from Gaza in. People forget that that's the border that remains closed, the one with Egypt.
Right.
And the Saudis obviously don't have a normalization agreement with Israel. That was in the offing a year ago, prior to October 7th. There's been a lot of work behind the scenes by the Biden administration trying to revive that, trying to broker something. But they're really pushing a boulder up a hill because they're trying to get the Israelis to prematurely end the conflict to try to get after Hamas infrastructure. Except that Hezbollah will be emboldened on their northern border, allow an Iran policy that appeases Iran in place, and gift the Palestinians a Palestinian state after October 7th. That's a no-go for the Israelis. So we have a stalled process on that normalization agreement. The Saudis have a lot of influence over the Egyptians and over the Jordanians.
Right.
And they are exerting that behind the scenes. And they are willing to put a lot of money into Gaza reconstruction efforts along with the Emiratis. But we have to get to the point where you're in reconstruction, where you're in post-Hamas Gaza. The longer the Biden administration holds Israel back from destroying Hamas's infrastructure in Gaza, you keep putting off that day. And right. So you work against your own interests. You work against a hostage deal by pulling Israel back and relieving pressure on Hamas. And you work against the day where the Saudis and Emiratis can come in and play a constructive role because you've removed Hamas from power.
Richard Goldberg, senior advisor at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, former director for countering Iranian weapons of mass destruction at the White House National Security Council. Thank you once again for being with us on the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition.
You bet.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com.
I'm Guy Benson. Join me weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and guests. Listen live on the Fox News app or get the free podcast at GuyBensonShow.com.